once upon a time, in a land where people no longer content with just watching football, decided to take their watching to a higher level. And thus, fantasy football was born, and has since grown into a massive beast with an insane amount of varieties. PPR, standard, IDP, with points off the bench bonuses. But during the growth of the industry, many have been left in the wake, lost and confused. Is this you? Have you always had an interest but feel too far behind to join in the fun? Well, fear not, my friend. We here at Fantasy Football University have made sure we have the very best teachers ready to get you not only on the same page, but well ahead of your competition and hoisting your championship trophy into the sky. If you are tired of missing out on the fun, class is now in session.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fantasy Football University. Today is our player primer, part three. Try saying that three times fast, Mr. Jason. How are we doing this evening?
I am doing very well on this Labor Day weekend, just smoking some meats, hanging out with my friends, talking some fantasy football.
Yeah, me and you would get along great. You said smoking some meats?
Meats.
Oh,
meats.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. That's completely different. George, what are you up to, buddy? How's it going on this wonderful weekend?
Man, it's Labor Day weekend. Work today, on call tomorrow, off Tuesday. That's kind of nice. And then I got myself a 3-day weekend next weekend. So kind of looking forward to it. Ready to get this show started. Ready to talk a little bit about my favorite team, the Miami Dolphins, and the AFC East.
And now, is it Memorial Day or is it Labor Day? Because I think one of you guys said one and the other one said the other. And I too partake in smoking of the meats. And therefore, I can't remember. So
it's Labor Day. Did I say Memorial Day? I meant Labor Day.
It's Labor Day. Yeah, you said Memorial Day.
So on the screen here, it says MD, where Michael Darling is. And I think that's just subliminally, I said, MD made me say Memorial Day. I blame Mike.
It's fair. This is fair. This is fair. Well, guys, we'll just kick right off into it. We're just going to go breaking down. We've already broke down the whole entire NFC, so make sure you go back and listen to those episodes if you're sitting there looking for people to grab, especially off your waivers. We talk a lot about these depth spots and the people that are sitting in there and the players to grab. I mean, most of the time, the answer is going to be nobody. But there are some gems in the rough that are probably still available on your waiver wire. Guys, we're going to get this started off with my boys, the Bills, over there in good old Buffalo, led by Josh Allen, the man himself, backed up by, well, it doesn't really matter because he doesn't need backup. He's going to do just fine. He doesn't even need receivers. I heard he was going to throw to himself every single play. But no, I'm just kidding. He has Matt Barkley backing him up. Jake Fromm got signed this year. He's actually looking pretty good. That looks like a pretty good young team coming out of the gate quarterback-wise. We got Devin Singletary, TJ Yeldon, Zach Moss, Tywan Jones at the running back position. We've got John Brown, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley starting out. We got Isaiah McKenzie, Gabriel Davis, Isaiah Hodgins. And in the tight end position, we got Dawson Knox. We got Tyler Kroft, man. Guys, there's a lot of players on this team that I want a piece of. What about you guys? Who do you guys like here?
I'm waiting for Jason to give me this deep dive on Isaiah Hodgins.
You know, I should have deep dove knowing you were going to do that. And, you know, I did actually do some research on Isaiah. No, I didn't know anything about Isaiah Hodgins. I know he played for the Beavers.
There you go. That's more than I knew.
He caught 86 for 1,171 yards and 13 touchdowns in 2019. Started 11 of 12 games for Oregon State. This sounds pretty good to me.
He was a sixth-round draft pick this last year.
Yeah, he's the son of an NFL football, fullback, James Hodgins. And let's see. Anything else? Scouting report says he has a potential inside-outside target with below-average speed and outstanding ball skills.
That's what I want out of my receivers, below-average speed.
Below average speed. Well, right. You know, that's one thing I can say for the Bills. They've got speed for days, so maybe they need a possession receiver. I mean, they do have Cole Beasley there, who is the ultimate rapper. He's Mr. Unlimited rapper style. We're going to have to drop some Cole Bizzle's music here. But you asked who I like on the team. I like their tight ends as sneaky plays. Dawson Knox and Tyler Croft in spots can both be good.
Yeah, in the Scott Fishbowl, like one of the very last picks I made was Dawson Knox. And I was shocked to find a starting tight end that late in the Scott Fishbowl. And I mean, Dawson Knox is not going to go out and knock your socks off week in, week out. Like, nobody's confusing him for Kelce or Kittle or Ertz or Darren Waller or anybody of that ilk. But in spot starts, like Jason mentioned, he's a serviceable tight end.
Yeah, you know, I really like his connection with Josh Allen. It seemed to get stronger and stronger. I'm really curious to see how Stephon Diggs fits in on this team and how they connect and everything like that, because they were already really hitting John Brown quite a bit in that offense. So this team excites me. I do like Isaiah McKenzie. He came out of Denver. He was a decent receiver. I mean, he's a good backup. I feel like if any one of these guys go down or get out, he would be a good guy to grab right away, but not a guy I'm stashing on the bench. Just the same as the rest of them. What about the running backs, guys? What's going on with the running back situation here? Who do you guys like for the season this year out of this set? Do we like Devin Singletary? Are we still running with the devil? Or are we looking a little bit more Zach Moss's way?
The devil went down to Georgia, and he got beat. He's been having fumbling issues so far this preseason, and that's not something the coach there in Buffalo is actually going to tolerate. Zach Moss is getting all the hype right now. People absolutely love him. If I had to choose between the two, I would say give me whichever running back is being drafted the latest. With all the hype around Moss, I feel like his ADP is going to be a little too high. With all the downness of people that are down on Devil Singletary, whoever's the later drafty, that's who I want. Right now, I feel like that's Singletary.
So I've got to say, last year, they only handed the ball to Devin Singletary inside the five like three times. He scored on all three, but they refused to do it often. They gave it to Frank Gore, who was very inefficient down around the goal line. They just didn't trust Singletary down there. Moss with his the
it's,
build
it's that, the ball security.
Yeah, well, and the build that Moss has lends itself to being a goal line back. He's a bigger dude, right? So
yep.
If I had to choose between the two, I like Zach Moss's prospects as a rookie this year coming in. But I like what George says. Give me the one that's going the latest, because I think both of them can be good as long as you're not having to pay premium for them.
Correct.
Would you grab both of them?
I would not. I don't think their running game, because you also have to worry about Josh Allen stealing touchdowns on the ground. So I don't think that offense is good enough to support three touchdown getters, three rushing threats. So I'm willing to take a shot on one of them, but I don't think this offense is good enough to take both.
Yeah, I think they're both flex worthy. So I would not be comfortable having either one as my RB1 or my RB2 for sure.
I got you, and I actually almost kind of agree with that statement, because I feel like either one of these guys is going to make you put in a week-to-week predicament, especially if you start seeing them get a healthy split to start out and like maybe start seeing one fade towards the second half of the season. I can definitely see that being Zach Moss. Okay, with that, we'll move over to the Georgia's Dolphins, man. We'll go and let you talk about these guys. Why don't you introduce this team to us?
Oh, I'd be absolutely honored to introduce this team to you. So, starting wide receivers, you got Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, newly acquired Lynn Bowden Jr., come over from the Raiders, Matt Collins, Isaiah Ford, Jakeem Grant, who I really, really like. We're expecting a vast improvement from him this year. Mike Gesicki, second-year tight end. They spent high draft capital on him, second-round tight end. Started to show a little bit of promise at the end of last year. Typically, it takes 3 years for tight ends to start the show. So we're expecting a lot from him. He was just crushed the combine last year. Like every single metric for him is just literally it's off the charts. We've got Adam Shaheen came over from Chicago. I'm not expecting a whole lot from him. Not a big fan of Shaheen, to be brutally honest. I don't think he's a very good football player, but that's just me. We got the beard. We got the wild one. We got Ryan Fitzpatrick at our QB. Some guy by the name of Tua Tagovailoa is a rookie. Not expecting a whole lot out of him this year. People think he's going to get an opportunity to play and possibly start week one. I want to say stop that. That's just not happening. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the Miami Dolphins starter. He will be the starter for at least the first half of the season. Running backs, we have Jordan Howard and Matt Breida. Both sneaky, sneaky good. Patrick Lard, I can't believe he's still there. And Miles Gaskins is our four running backs that we're going to be trotting into battle this year.
That's not a bad lineup. You know, you got a little bit of fantasy value in there. Isaiah Ford, I like him. I think he's pretty much on nobody's radar. Them grabbing Lynn Bowden Jr., I think that's an awesome sneaky play. I think that's going to be a guy who can just, I mean, he's just like a Swiss Army knife out there. And now they have him, and you know that this is a team that likes to use the Swiss Army knife approach. So
he's gonna be their gadget play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Player. Yeah. They'll line him up in the backfield, and then next thing you know, he'll run out into the slot and play in the slot. I love his versatility. It was just a bad fit in Las Vegas. Like what John Gruden wanted to do there is not playing to Lynn Bowden's strengths. And I love the fact that, you know, we got him in Miami. I think he really can do a little bit of everything really good. And I think he's going to cause mismatch problems, for opposing defenses.
So a guy I like, where he's being taken is Jordan Howard. You know, in PPR, it's a little tough because he doesn't catch the ball much. But, you know, at 2 out of 4 seasons, he's had 1,000 yards. He was just shy in his third in one of those seasons with 935 yards. That's a guy who's being taken in the at the end of the 7th round. You're getting a starter for a team who's done some work on its offensive line at the end of the 7th. So it's a starter at the end. He's a guy I'm looking at, you know. He's going right around Tariq Cohen, so I may not have as much Jordan Howard because I am taking Tariq Cohen in that area because of his catching ability. But, you know, he's also going around Phillip Lindsay and Kerryon Johnson. And so, you know, with those choices, I'm taking Jordan Howard every time.
Yeah, it's amazing how many drafts I've picked up Jordan Howard in this year. He hopefully can just keep being his consistent self. I mean, that's one thing he's really good at is getting on that RB1 board at the end of the year, you know, just a Mr. give you 10 to 12, 14 points every single week. And where you're grabbing him, that is just more than gorgeous. That's just perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, he's not flashy, but he's a guy who'll get you. He's not going to kill you every week either unless he gets injured. So he's a guy I've got, especially at that point in the draft. Those are kind of guys that can help out your team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the one thing I did not agree with is Adam Shaheen being a bad football player. Like, I want to know where you've got to see Adam Shaheen actually play football, George. Has this guy even made the field yet?
That's the problem. We haven't seen Adam Shaheen play when he was in Chicago. We haven't seen him on the field in Miami.
Absolutely. So that brings us to your second favorite team, right? The Patriots. We've got Cam Newton as the quarterback, Jared Stidham backing up. We got Brian Hoyer backing him up. We got in the starting position for the receivers, we got N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman, and Isaiah Wynn. And then we've got, or I'm sorry, not Isaiah Wynn. Then we got Jacoby Myers, Damier Breyer, and then we got Matthew Slater, Gunnar Olszewski, I believe is how you say his last name. And that rounds out their receiving core. Then you got Ryan Izzo, Devin Azi, and Dalton Keene as the tight ends. Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, Damian Harris, James White, Jacob Johnson, Bud Light guy, Frank from down the street. Pretty much everybody's the running back for the Patriots this year.
Yeah, so Mike, what can you tell me about Isaiah Wynn?
What's
his 40 time? How did he do at the combine?
His 40 time was 4.75. He's a very, very fast left tackle. He's a very good left tackle.
So the pieces that intrigue me on the Patriots, honestly, is N'Keal Harry, clearly. We've got reports that Damian Harris is injured. Sony Michel, I think he's healthy. I think. Maybe not. I don't know. Listen, the only pieces really of this offense that intrigue me is N'Keal Harry, Cam Newton, and James White. You know what you got in James White. He's got a solidified role. He's their pass catching back. He's their third down back. He's their change of pace back. Cam Newton, interested to see what he can do in this offense. The Patriots have no, allegiance to Cam Newton. This is kind of a show me if you still have it season for Cam. He's on a 1-year deal. If the Patriots don't like the way Newton plays, or if he goes out and he just stinks it up and gets injured again, like, they can cut him, let him walk next year, no big loss. The reason I'm interested in N'Keal Harry is we've seen what Cam Newton has been able to get out of bigger, faster wide receivers in the past, when he was with Carolina. He made guys like Devin Funchess relevant. And I want to guess and say N'Keal Harry is probably a better prospect than Devin Funchess. So those are the only three pieces really that are interesting me on this team.
And actually, for me, it's only two, because I'm not that interested in James White, where he's going. A lot of people, a lot of people say James White has a set role and that's why you'd want him. But I'm just looking at the list of running backs, just specifically running backs now being taken after James White. So, guys, James White or Zach Moss?
What Zach kind of league? Is it
let's just say half PPR.
Half PPR? I'm leaning James White.
Zach Moss for me.
I'm taking Zach Moss. James White or Leonard Fournette?
Fournette.
Oh, that's Fournette, but I think Fournette's ADP will go back up now that he's actually signed with Tampa. I don't think that's fair.
James White, Jordan Howard.
James White.
See, I'm taking Jordan Howard, and this will be the last one. James White or Tariq Cohen?
They're the same James player. White.
I'll take Tariq Cohen.
I'm going to take Tariq Cohen. So, you can go down one more and Latavius Murray, and I'm taking Latavius Murray too. So, I don't want a piece of any of these running backs on this team. I don't think any of them are going to be all that valuable. I do like the idea of N'Keal Harry, probably because I drafted him in a couple of too many places last year in Dynasty, so I just need him to do well at this point. But and I like Cam Newton if you can get him really late, because I'm a really late quarterback guy. So I don't mind taking an upshot on Cam Newton, who's had a year and a half to get healthy. So hopefully, hopefully he's back and can make something of N'Keal Harry. I feel bad for Julian Edelman, because I don't think that is definitely not the style of wide receiver that Cam Newton can play with. I think his career starts taking a nosedive, and Tampa might sign him by midseason. Mm-hmm. But, only two guys on this whole team, and George talked about him already.
I can't wait for the breaking news that Tampa has traded for Bill Belichick.
Right.
Listen, I'm fine with it.
And Julian Edelman. It'll be a package deal.
What did they give up? Well, they gave up Vaughn, and they gave up Mike Evans.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Mike Evans. Literally just restructured his deal for the third time since he signed it to give cap space to the Bucks. That is a solid team, dude. That guy's not going. He's going to be a Buck.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is a Buck guy.
That is awesome.
Hey, Jason, just so you know, right now, according to Fantasy Pros, Cam Newton is going pick 153 off the board.
That's right where I want. Right where I want a quarterback. Yeah, that's
perfect. To pile on, I do like Sony Michel this year. I think he's actually going to see a pretty decent workload. I've liked it, what I've seen out of him in the past. If he can stay on the field, he's a decent play. And you're getting him super duper late. So anytime I'm getting a running back one that late, I'm pretty happy. Let's go ahead and move on over to the just end the season Jets. We've got this led by Sam Darnold. Oh my goodness. We got Le'Veon Bell. We got Frank Gore. We got LaMichael Pirine. We got Josh Adams. We got Joe Flacco. We got Christopher Herndon. We got Jameson Crowder. Chris Hogan. Rashad Perriman. Mims. We got Berrios. We got Smith. We got Smith. We got Morgan. Which sounds like we're now moving to a financial lineup.
Smith and Morgan.
Smith and Morgan here. What do you guys think about this team? I actually, you know, there's a lot of fantasy value to be had here. I joke, but I do like a lot of these guys. I like Crowder a lot. I like Perriman a lot. Herndon, I'm a pretty decent fan of. I think you're getting him super late, if not off of waivers. I don't really like the running game here very much. It kind of scares me. But what do you guys think of this team?
I think Jameson Crowder is like the Brussels sprouts on your plate. Like, you're not happy they're there. They're not tasteful, but they're good for you. In PPR leagues, I can honestly see Jameson Crowder getting over 100 targets. Like, at the end of the season, it would not surprise me if he's sitting at about 105, 106 targets. That Sam Darnold peppers Jameson Crowder like nobody's business. So I'm definitely willing to take a flyer on Crowder late, especially in PPR leagues. Rashard Perriman can be very interesting. He came on last year in Tampa when there was absolutely nothing left there that was serviceable. And now he's on the Jets where there's nothing there that's serviceable. Denzel Mims, a rookie, I got very low expectations from him. Chris Herndon is kind of interesting if he can stay healthy. We have yet to see that. Le'Veon Bell should be a solid running back too for you. But fuck, it's Adam Gase.
Yeah, that's it. That's the problem, right? So, you know, out of camp, it's been a 60-40 split, Bell to Gore. Bell's been running with the twos a bunch. And maybe some of that's to spell the amount of carries the guy's going to get in preseason. Or since there's no preseason in training camp. But it is Adam Gase, and I can see him giving Frank Gore way too much work and Le'Veon Bell sitting on the sideline. Not to mention that they had kind of a little bit of a tiff where Le'Veon Bell was standing on the sideline for a large chunk of practice while Frank Gore ran with the ones, and Gase came out and said it was a hamstring injury from Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell had to go and tweet that that was not true. So they're not even on the same page as far as their excuse for Le'Veon Bell not being on the same on the field with the ones. I don't like that running back. I don't like that coach. I'm not thrilled with really anybody but Crowder. Crowder is a good pick. Like George said, it's Brussels sprouts. I like to say with Brussels sprouts, though, they surprisingly taste good if they're done right. And I think Crowder is usually done right by Sam Darnold. He's the outlet there. The other guy I like Ryan Griffin because Chris Herndon couldn't play last year, that Ryan Griffin actually got it done in several games. So I temper my Herndon love a little bit only because they do have a second option there. He's deep. It's a deep sleeper guy. It's not somebody you're going to be drafting, but like watch for him on your waivers because I have a feeling if Chris Herndon comes out and doesn't impress, you'll see a lot more of Ryan Griffin and he could impress.
So my one issue with Le'Veon Bell, and it definitely traces back to Adam Gase, is Gase comes out and says, you know, we really need to get Le'Veon Bell more involved. Well, you're the coach. You're calling the plays. That means you are the one not getting him involved. So that scares me. Like I would rather have a coach come out and say, you know, like what they did with Christian McCaffrey a couple of years ago. You know, we think he's touching the ball way too much. We want to kind of dial that back a little bit. That means they have trust in that player. That's why they're giving him the ball so much. They trust him. If you're not giving the player a ball a whole lot, you don't trust that player. And Le'Veon Bell throughout his career has been somebody you can trust. He doesn't have fumbling issues. He's a talented running back. but it's Adam Gase. And his eyes are going all over the place, and we don't know what he's looking at.
Well, listen, and on top of that, the reason you can't trust Gase when he says he needs to get him involved more, because everything they've done this offseason was to not get him involved. Correct. They signed Frank Gore, they draft the Michael Pirine, they try and trade for Kalen Ballage.
Yep.
I'm not saying any of those guys are great and should be playing instead of Frank Gore, but because it's Adam Gase, you know they probably will be. So, yep. He can say one thing, but everything they've done this offseason tells the story of another thing. Correct. And that's why it makes me hard. That's why it's hard to. that's why it's hard to take him at face value and actually believe anything he's actually saying about Le'Veon Bell versus what we saw him do with Le'Veon Bell last year and then try and replace him at every turn this year. So
I just want to say there's nothing on the Jets that make me hard.
Watching them lose repeatedly.
Only to my Dolphins. Okay. Well, I can do that. But no, I mean, you look at Le'Veon Bell when he first signed with the Jets, like Gase didn't want him.
Yeah, that was a GM call and not yep. a coach call. Yep.
Correct. We've talked way too much about the Jets.
I'm going to close it out with this. The only thing we know is that he's actually going to be on the team all year. There were some, you know, when Fournette got released, there was a lot of people saying, "Oh, they should drop Le'Veon Bell, pick up Fournette." Le'Veon Bell's his dead cap hit this year if they released him was $17 million. Le'Veon Ooh. Bell's on this team all season.
Yes, he is. That's why I have him as a solid RB2. Like, he'll give you a couple RB1 weeks, but I think when you're drafting Le'Veon Bell, you know, you're not getting the Le'Veon Bell that you were getting in Pittsburgh. You're getting Le'Veon Bell in the Jets, and he's an RB2.
So like these guys are saying, stay tuned next week for another episode of Adam Ruins Everything. So
yes,
we will get to the AFC North now. Guys, we got out of that nightmare dumpster fire of the East. Oh my goodness sakes. Now we can get to some good football again. We got the Ravens. We got Marquise Brown. We got Willie Snead. We got Miles Boykin, Mark Andrew. Of course, you've got Lamar Jackson. You've got Mark Ingram. You've got J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill still hanging around. RG3 still hanging around. We've got some new faces with Devin Duvernay and James Prochet. Chris Moore still hanging around in there, too. Also is a host on Sleeper Wire, if you guys didn't know that. I mean, that's yep. why he's the wide receiver 3. He's got priorities. He knows what he's got to do on the week. What do you guys think of this team? Are we? Is it Lamar Jackson or bust this year? Is he going to do it again?
So I'm not going to say he's going to rush for 1,000 yards. Like, I mean, it's only been done, if I'm not mistaken, one other time in NFL history, and that was Michael Vick. So I'm not going to say, yeah, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to go out and rush for another 1,000 yards. I think that's lofty expectations. I want to dial that back. Will he get 700-800 yards? I could possibly see that, but I don't think the Ravens want him running as much. I think they want to run the ball, but I think they want to use their running backs more. Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, and sprinkle in a little bit of Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I can see a total reduction. Does he get 35 touchdowns again? I don't know, maybe 30. Does he rush for 1,000 yards? Does he get as many touchdowns on the ground? I think it's probably reduced a little bit, but, you know, 80% of Lamar Jackson is better than 90% of other quarterbacks in fantasy football. So,
yes, sir.
You know, he's still going to be 1, 2, or 3. You know, there's only about 3 quarterbacks I can see going number 1. Dak, I think, is probably the 3rd one. If he's either going to go 1 or 3. I'm not going to have a lot of him except for in dynasties. I'm not going to have a lot of him just because I'm not going to spend a 1st or a 2nd on a quarterback. But, you know, he's geared up. He's a running back who happens to play quarterback, and that's great for these leagues. As far as the rest of the team goes, Mark Ingram still going higher than J.K. Dobbins, which I understand because Mark Ingram had a good year last year. I can see easily by the end of the season, J.K. Dobbins taking over this team.
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope. Big trust. Lamar Jackson has nothing but love for Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram will absolutely be the lead running back all year unless he gets injured. He's a better pass catcher than J.K. Dobbins. He knows the offense. Lamar Jackson absolutely trusts Mark Ingram. He's not going anywhere this year. The guy that's taken the biggest hit is Gus Edwards. I can see absolutely every single one of his carries that he had last year. And I think it was something ridiculous, like 133 carries going to J.K. Dobbins. I think what we had in the New Orleans Saints with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, the way that they were splitting, is what you're going to get here in Baltimore this year. And listen, that means J.K. Dobbins is valuable. Like, he's got a role that he will play, and he will provide fantasy goodness. But I think Mark Ingram is going to be the guy there all year. Like, he had a fantastic year last year. He doesn't have a whole lot of tread on his tires. He's not pushing 34, 35. So I'm a big believer that it will be Mark Ingram's backfield all year, and J.K. Dobbins will get the remaining 40%. I think it's going to be a 60-40 split with Ingram getting the larger share the entire year. The other guy that I really, really like this year is Marquise Brown. If he can stay healthy, I'm expecting him to take quite a big step forward this year. He's somebody that I wish I had a lot more of in my leagues.
The one problem I have with Marquise Brown, and I like Marquise Brown this year too, but I didn't realize he creeped up into like the fifth round.
Yeah.
He's now going to
some of that is dynasty as well.
So he's up in the fifth round. You know, he's going around Keenan Allen, Cortland Sutton, T.Y. Hilton.
I'd take him over Cortland Sutton. I'd take him over T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I'd take him. I'd take him over Keenan Allen. Well, I'd probably take Cortland Sutton. I take Keenan Allen, Cortland Sutton. He's in the same round, although Terry McLaurin's going at the beginning of the round and Marquise Brown's going at the end. Devontae Parker's around there, Michael Gallup. Like, I don't know. So somebody like Michael Gallup, Tyler Boyd, those guys I think I'm taking over Marquise Brown at this point. I like Marquise Brown as a talent, but he's very boom or bust. And then we have to see if he can survive a season healthy. So I think he has all the potential in the world to be an all-star, but I need to see it before I start giving him a fifth-round grade.
Well, see, and for me with him, yeah, that's the injury that's the worst part about it. You know, like, he can't seem to stay on the field, and when he does, it doesn't seem like they try to use him, like, as much as they need to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's kind of... He's so great, but he just doesn't have that utilization. I think you're going to see somebody like Duvernay come in and probably be more used in that position just because he's a little bit faster on the cuts and things like that. And I think you'll see him get more involved in, like, say, a slot route type position out of there. And I think that's kind of more copacetic to what this team does.
I think him being on the outside is huge for this team. Between him being on the outside with his speed, you got Lamar Jackson with his legs. Like, you've got defenses already, you know, leaning back because they're just, it's a powerful team and they want to run the ball. So when you're starting to get, you know, late into the third quarter, you know, going into that fourth quarter, you know, those defenses are worn down from trying to keep up with this team. And every single play, they're coming to punch you in the mouth. Play after play after play. This is one of my favorite offenses. I want to get a lot of it. We've gone all this talking, and we haven't even mentioned Mark Andrews, who is one of the better tight ends in the league. They traded away, what's his name?
Hayden Hurst.
Yes. So we haven't even talked about Mark Andrews, and they traded away Hayden Hurst. So all the plays that Hayden Hurst was on the field, I'm not saying Mark Andrews is going to get them all. We will see a little bit of Nick Boyle, but, you know, I would expect Mark Andrews to be on the field even more. And for somebody who's underneath, Mark Andrews is just a huge target for Lamar Jackson, and he loves his tight end. So I want a part of this team any way I can get it.
Yep, same here. Again, I'm just not so sold on Marquise Brown, but I do like where I'm catching him at. The value there is perfect. That's going to go ahead and bring us up to the Bengals. We've got Joe Burrow making his debut, backed up by Ryan Finley, followed by Joe Mixon. We still got Giovanni Bernard still back there. Samaje Perine still hanging out. Trevion Williams. We got Drew Sample, CJ Uzuma, Seathan Carter at the tight end position. And then the wide receivers, we got the return of the man, AJ Green. We got John Ross and Tyler Boyd rounding things out, backed up by Auden Tate, Alex Erickson, T. Higgins, and Mike Thomas. There's not a whole lot here that excites me, guys. I want to see what AJ Green can do. He's just such one of those standout guys. You kind of got to just throw it his general direction. And then Joe Mixon, I'm kind of on the fence about this guy. I don't think he's going to be that great this year. I really kind of feel like this team's going to be a dumpster fire. I don't think Joe Burrow's going to transist very well. I mean, game one, he's going to be looking at full speed ahead, and it's a whole new game out there. So
I disagree a little bit. So I don't like AJ Green only because you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, whatever, whatever. You won't get fooled again. So AJ Green injured all last year. You kept hearing he could return, never did. Coming to this offseason, he's not 100% healthy. He's a star talent, but man, he can't get on the field, and I think he just hit the wall and went splat. But there are guys on this team that I really like. Give me all the Tyler Boyd I can take in the sixth round. Tyler Boyd has shown season after season that he's a wide receiver too. And if I can take him as late as the sixth and get that production out of him, I want that. Auden Tate, as late as he's going, give me some Auden Tate as well. He's a good wide receiver. He's going all the way in round 13 right now, 1301. He's a big guy, good hands. I apologize. Golden Tate's going in the 13th round. Auden Tate's not even getting drafted.
That's the reason he's not getting drafted.
I'll take him in the last round and take a shot. I like Joe Burrow's prospects this year. Listen, he's got to play the Raiders and the Steelers twice, but there's a bunch of games where he doesn't get to play those guys, and he's going to do just fine. They're going to be behind because that defense is terrible, so he's going to have to throw the ball a lot. I'm taking Tyler Boyd. I'm taking a sniff at Tate at the end of the draft, and I'm even watching Giovanni Bernard because as far as handcuffs go, Mixon doesn't have a great health record either. So Gio's just sitting there going, remember me? I can catch the ball too.
So I disagree with Mike as well. I'm actually intrigued quite a bit by this Bengals offense. The defense is atrocious. This defense is terrible. So they're going to be behind in games. And if you're telling me we're going to be behind in games and I can get guys like AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, I actually think CJ Uzuma or the Uzi is going to be your starting tight end. I want some of that. Like, one thing people don't realize is Joe Burrow can move the ball with his feet. He's very athletic. He's got a great confidence about him. I mean, he went out last year, and granted, it was in college. I totally get that. But he just destroyed teams last year. Like, he literally ripped the soul out of a ton of teams by halftime. So I think Joe Burrow is a good quarterback. I think he will be a very good NFL quarterback. They are getting their first round pick back last year from the offensive line. So that will help. Plus they addressed the offensive line, through free agency this offseason. So I think the offense will be fine. I disagree with the take on AJ Green. I think he was actually pretty healthy last year. I just think there was no reason for him to come back. They knew that at the point that he was ready to come back, they knew, hey, we're all in this for Burrow at this point. Our record is terrible. We have no chance at making the playoffs. Let's just ride it out the rest of the year. If we can, you know, come to a deal in the offseason, great. If not, we'll just tag you. And AJ Green said he wants to retire, of course, you know, everybody's going to say that, but he said he wanted to retire as a Bengal. So I don't know. I'll take a flyer on AJ Green in the fifth round. That's absolutely no problem. In the fifth round, if he's my wide receiver two or my wide receiver three, like, I've got no problem with AJ Green there. I do like Tyler Boyd for all the reasons Jason mentioned, but I'm not going to sit here and take a dump on AJ Green. He's still somebody who could go out and put up a 1,300 yard season with 10 touchdowns and truly would not be surprised. I would not be surprised at all because we've seen it for year after year after year outside the last 2 years.
Well, I hope you don't take a dump on AJ Green. That would be.
It would be rude.
That would be very rude, George. Very, very rude. Well, yeah, no, I'm just, like I said, I just don't see this team having a whole lot of fantasy production, but we will see. So that will bring us to a couple of the last exciting, very exciting teams right here. One that I'm very excited about. We got the Cleveland Browns. We got Baker Mayfield at the helm. We've got Nick Chubb following him with Kareem Hunt on the side. We got Austin Hooper at the tight end position, along with David Njoku on the other side. We got OBJ. We got Jarvis Landry. We got Rashard Higgins. Kadarius Hodge. We got Donovan Peoples-Jones. JoJo Natson. Man, they've got all kinds of players on this team. What do you guys think of these guys? Case Keenum's the backup. I didn't know that. That's kind of fun.
So if it's me, who am I excited about on this team? I'm excited about Kareem Hunt at his draft position. I think you're going to get even production from Kareem Hunt that you get from Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's going in the first, and Kareem Hunt's going in the fifth.
Fourth or fifth, yeah.
Yeah, I've got him at the beginning of the fifth, into the fourth. So, you know, give me Kareem Hunt, because when they were both on the field, when they were both healthy and playing, very few points separated between the two. I think 4 points total between Chubb and Hunt. So, you know, give me the guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. There, if you're forcing me to pick somebody else off this team, man, I like Jarvis Landry because all he does is catch passes, and in a PPR, you know, it's valuable. Again, he's going later in the draft, so you don't have to spend a lot of draft capital on him. I'm avoiding Odell Beckham Jr. at this point, probably to my peril, because he may come back as something decent. And listen, if I need to channel my inner Max, Case Keenum, that's a guy. I'm kidding. Donovan, I'm hearing a lot of reports because I have a friend that's a diehard Cleveland fan. I'm hearing reports Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to be the third wide receiver on the field. You know, he's a guy that's been around for a little while and hasn't really done anything. But they're talking about him supplanting Rashard Higgins, who was a late-round sleeper last year for some people. So, I don't know, take a look there if you're desperate. Not a lot on here that I'm overly excited about. George, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking I agree with you as far as I'd rather have Kareem Hunt over Nick Chubb. Like, I can't see me spending a first or second round pick on Chubb when I could wait another round or so and score me a Kareem Hunt. I think two or three rounds. Yeah. I think Hunt is the better of the two backs. Definitely in PPR leagues, I definitely want Hunt. I don't like the fact that Kareem Hunt has come out and said, hey, you know, I embrace sharing the backfield with Kareem Hunt. Like, that's not what I want from an alpha running back. I don't want somebody who is willing to defer to somebody else. I want somebody who goes out there and says, no, I want the ball. Give me the ball. I will take this team to the promised land. Like, I want that alpha type of mentality. And I get Nick Chubb's just trying to be a good teammate, but no thank you. Just no thank you. I don't like that in my running backs. I will take a flyer on Odell Beckham Jr. He is falling to the third round. So if I start running back, and then I come back and I can get me an Odell Beckham Jr., I will absolutely take that. Last year, Odell was okay. You had to draft him, you know, in the first round to get it. Now that his depreciation has dropped him from the first round to, you know, back end of the third, I'm more than happy to take Odell Beckham Jr. Another year with him and Baker Mayfield. I expect Mayfield to step up a little bit more this year than last year. Last year was just an atrocity with the coaching and the offensive line and the play on the field and all the confusion. It was just bad. I think things are a little bit more stable now. Odell Beckham Jr. does not have the sprain. He had that surgery in the offseason. So, and he looks good. And here's the one thing we can say about Odell Beckham Jr. Like, when he was in New York, you'd always hear him chirping. You'd always hear him chirping, even during the offseason. He'd make the news for doing stupid things. Like, you're not getting that right now in Cleveland with Odell. I think he's focused, and I think he's coming back to show he is still one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm willing to take the flyer at the depreciated value on Odell Beckham Jr. for those reasons.
Absolutely agree with that myself. I feel like he's poised for a return, and I completely agree 100% with your method of thinking behind that, because you just haven't heard anything about him. You haven't heard him saying, oh, I'm going to be able to do this, I'm going to be able to do this. And just to correct you a little bit there, Jason, you said Donovan Peoples-Jones has been around for a little while. He is a rookie this year. But I could see him supplanting Rashard Higgins very easily. He's a big dude, man. He's solid. He's a good player. I really like Donovan Peoples-Jones. I watched him out at Michigan. And man, this guy's a beast. He's going to translate to the NFL, I think, very well. When you start adding people like Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry as the one and two guys out there, and him as the third, you have just nothing but a whole bunch of nightmares. I think Baker Mayfield might be a huge good quarterback to grab late, because you're getting him so late this year.
Who was I thinking about that sounded like Peoples-Jones?
I want to say, isn't there like Darius Peoples-Jones or something like that? I feel like there's another one out there that's just very close, but I was looking and I can't find it. But I know Donovan. I know who Donovan Peoples-Jones is, but I was thinking when you said that, I was like, who is that he's thinking of? Because I know there is somebody.
It happens. It happens all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of players out there, man, and we got to keep our eyes on all of them. So it does happen.
And I know last year everybody was super excited about this offense, and we should be excited about this offense this year. Like, they added Austin Hooper, who is no slouch at tight end. He's a good tight end. You still got David Njoku, who tight ends take time to become relevant. This will be his third year. He was drafted in 2017. So, I mean, I'm excited about this team. I've always been a closet Browns fan. I don't know why, but I have been. Maybe it's because I'm a fan of bad teams. That very underdogs. Well could be the reason.
Yes,
you're
yeah.
You're a fan of underdogs.
I was saying Miami with Tannehill doing the same thing for years. So, I am a bit by the same affliction, George.
Yeah, but there's no reason this team should not be able to be very good this year. Hopefully they can put it all together. It all starts with Baker. I that's another thing. Like, we haven't heard, things from Baker this offseason. He hasn't been posing with his shirt off next to a tiger, leaning on a Bentley. Like, that hasn't happened. We haven't heard a lot from this team at all, really, in general. Like, it's been very quiet, and I think that's a good thing.
Watch them all just be terrified of COVID. Same people, just afraid of COVID, and they're just not coming out of their house.
Could be, but
really, the fantasy value should be there. I am grabbing most of these guys that we have talked about. Nick, just depending on their positions and where I'm getting them. But it seems like if they have the Cleveland tag, they are going a little bit later than they should be. So,
get them at a discount.
Yep, get them at a discount while you can. Steelers now moving on to the last and final team, and boy, I'm excited because Big Ben is back. He's looking good. Yeah, of course, he's got this hurt, that hurt, this is hurt again, that's hurt again. That's Ben Roethlisberger every week. It's very rare you see this guy go out, like, where it actually goes out and hurts him. He's backed up by Mason Rudolph, who is trash. We got James Conner, Jalen Samuels, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland. We got Vance Dance McDonald. We got Zach Gentry. We got Eric Ebron. Then at the wide receivers, we got Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington, Deontay Johnson. We got Ray McLeod and Chase Claypool, and that ends the whole entire depth of the team right there. They're coming at you thin, and they're coming at you ready. What do you guys think about this Pittsburgh Steelers team?
Hey, Jason.
Yes.
He's so tough.
Who's tough?
He's the toughest.
Oh, yeah. Ben Roethlisberger
He's so tough. Just the toughest of the tough. Tough guys were so tough.
Oh, man. The toughest of the guys wish they were Ben Roethlisberger. Yes, every game you watch with Ben Roethlisberger, they talk about how tough he is.
He's tough.
So tough. He is the toughest.
He is very tough.
You know, reports out of camp are that Ben Roethlisberger is putting zip on the ball and is making every throw, which excites me for this team because I do like, I mean, just to be honest, I like Juju Smith-Schuster, maybe not in the third round where he's getting drafted, but I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I like James Washington. I like Deontay Johnson. I like these guys. I think all of them have the shot at being good. I guess the question's going to be, which of the four wide receivers? I'm gonna drop Ray McLeod off the list. Which of the four wide receivers, including Chase Claypool, do you guys think is going to hit here?
I want Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson.
That's who I want.
He was the one I was leaning towards as well.
I feel like it's going to be a Juju Smith-Schuster year. I feel like he's going to explode. I feel like he's kind of doing the same thing as OBJ. He's just sitting there quiet, biding his time, and he's going to explode. I think the two biggest offensive factors we're going to see on the Steelers this year is Juju and Eric Ebron.
Yeah, Eric Ebron, they came out just today and talked about how he's going to be used as a mismatch, a nightmare for these guys on the defense, and they're just going to put him up against linebackers and he's going to win every time. Eric Ebron's had a couple of really decent seasons. You know, if Eric Ebron wasn't on the Lions for so long, I think people would recognize how okay he was. I'm not going to say he was good. I'm not going to say he was great, but I'm going to say, you know, it took that he got on a good team with Andrew Luck before Andrew Luck retired. And came out and had a ton of touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen here, but I think he's good enough to be a decent tight end for this team. And I think he is a matchup nightmare for linebackers. So I like Ebron, sneaky, like just kind of watch because I don't think he's getting drafted either. But I do want to mention James Conner because I think James Conner is talented as all get out.
Yeah. Sorry, I like James Conner. If you can't tell,
I'm a little too much.
Well, and James Conner's going at the end of the second, beginning of the third. So you know, last year James Conner was going at the end of the first, beginning of the second, and he was being drafted without thinking about injury concern. Taking a running back who, if healthy and if able to stay on the field, could be a top five guy, a top four guy, even with the talent he has, if healthy, right? Getting him in the third is just value. You're drafting at a potential floor and not a ceiling. So I like James Conner this year because he's not going in the first round.
Yeah. So I want to echo everything Jason said about James Conner and that. The dude, I give him a mulligan for last year. Like, he had Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph as his quarterback. You know what defenses did? They stacked the box and said, Duck, you beat us. Hey, Mason, you beat us.
And then they beat him with a helmet.
Yes. And then they ripped their helmet off and tried to beat him with it. So. But no, so I don't blame James Conner for having a bad year last year. Yeah, he got injured, but let's not pretend football's not a physical sport, okay? It is. These guys do get injured. Conner didn't have any major injuries. He didn't tear an ACL, you know, he didn't break a collarbone, anything like that. It's just little nicks and bruises, little pulls. That stuff happens. If he were to go down, I think Benny Snell becomes the immediate backup. And then he will see a lot of time being split with Jalen Samuels. I don't think Samuels will be the immediate backup for Conner. I'm excited for this team. Their defense is really good. So there should be lots of work for James Conner. I agree with Jason. Eric Ebron is absolutely an okay tight end. I like Deontay Johnson. I like him as the number two here. It's going to remind me of a few years ago when you had AB and Juju Smith-Schuster was just this little up-and-coming wide receiver. And we've seen Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers be able to support 2 1,000-yard receivers before. I think we could possibly see that again this year with Johnson and Juju. Lots of fantasy goodness from the Steelers. And it all circles around Ben Roethlisberger being healthy. And as Jason alluded to, he does have zip on the ball. He is making all the throws. And if he's healthy, this team is going to be a very good team.
Yep, no, they're going to be the real deal. I think they're going to be very competitive. I think they're going to give people like Baltimore a run for their money in that division anyways. I don't think they're good enough to beat Baltimore, unfortunately. I think that team's just got too much going on. Although it's hard to say, man, I feel like if you can contain Lamar Jackson, you might be able to beat Baltimore, and that might be the trick there, as we saw with Kansas City last year. So,
hey Mike, hey Jason, something I just thought about doing that we didn't do for the NFC that I think we should do for the AFC. As we're reviewing these divisions, why don't we give ourselves a pick? Who is going to be the division winner, starting with the AFC East?
The division winner in the AFC East for me this year is going to be the Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to call the Bills too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills as well.
That's probably the easiest.
That's probably the easiest.
Yeah.
I think Miami honestly is 2 years away from being division winners. They may win it next year, but I think they're 2 years away from actually winning the division and being a serious contender.
Yeah, I think they're going to be competitive this year, though. I think they're going to be a lot more competitive than they've been.
I think they may win one, maybe two more games than they did last year. But I think overall, like, they'll be more competitive on the field. And that's a good sign.
Absolutely.
How about the North? What do you guys got here for the North? This is a little bit more difficult for me.
I'm still taking the Ravens easy.
Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh.
I was just gonna go with the Browns. No, I'm just kidding. Wow. I'm joking. I'm still gonna go with the Ravens. I think the Steelers make the playoffs, but I think the Ravens win the division.
You know, the one thing about all three of these teams that are in the South, the North, with the Baltimore, with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, is that, man, all three of those teams do have the winning recipe for a Super Bowl caliber team. You know, you're talking about three very, very solid defenses as well. So, it's anybody's game in that division. It really is. And they're all good. They're all packed with talent. I really, really like this division a lot. I can see it being anybody besides the Bengals.
Well, and this year, especially given COVID, you know, Lamar Jackson and, you know, Mark Ingram are hanging out together, end up with COVID, you know, now you're rolling out Robert Griffin, J.K. Dobbins, and it's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad combo. It's just not Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram.
Right.
So
the one thing I like that the Ravens did is their backup quarterback.
Similar style.
So they're not really going to change their offense a whole lot with the backup coming in, which I think is smart. Most teams don't really do that. I think that was a smart play on their behalf. But I think ultimately, and it was alluded to earlier by Mike, like the team that is the healthiest in this division is probably going to win it.
That's it. That's it right there. Yep. It's who can stay healthy, because that is another thing about this whole entire division is they are very much injury plagued minus Baltimore. You know, they seem to stay on the field, but man, everybody else on this whole entire roster has a whole lot of issues with that. So make sure you guys are staying aware. You make sure you're keeping your eye on your backups. Make sure you know who your backups are. Again, there's just not a whole lot of depth as far as what we're grabbing or how deep we're going with these teams, solely because, these guys aren't starting in these games for a reason. So A lot of these are system dependent and things like that, and they don't have the right system. Things of that nature. So you're not going to get a say and get a whole lot of depth out of this, but at the same time, you ought to be able to know who, what kind of players you can pick up and how quickly you can go get them and where you need to be spending your fab this year. So guys, once again, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at BFTGJason, and you can find me on the Sleeper app at BFTGDrMill.
And you can find me on Twitter at BFTGPod and on the Sleeper app at BFTGEO.
And of course, you can find all of us at FF_University. And you can hit us up there anytime. Hit us up with any questions. Maybe you got a beginner. You guys want to get into the game. Have them hit us up. Shoot us a DM and we'll get them started. Get them on the train for next season. We're taking applications now. So definitely hit us up there on the Twitter and let us know. And again, this is Dirty Jobs. You can find me at DirtyJobs21. And we will see you next week. And in the meantime, guys, go FF.
Yeah.